To right and starboard, the other rim wall was virtually identical. The same height, the same picture, the same tendency of the line to fade away beneath a steady stare. Apparently, the lyre had smashed down very close to the median line of the ring. The rim walls seemed equally distant, which put them nearly 500,000 miles away. Louis cleared his throat. Speaker, what do you think?
To me, the port wall seems fractionally higher.
Okay. Louis turned left. The other cycles followed, still on slave circuits. Louis activated the intercom for a look at Nessus. The puppeteer was hugging his saddle with all three legs. His heads were tucked between his body and the saddle. He was flying blind. Tila said, Speaker, are you sure?
Of course, the Kazin answered. The port side rim wall is visibly larger.
Louis smiled to himself. He had never had war training, but he knew something of war. He'd been caught on the ground during a revolution on Wunderland, and had fought as a guerrilla for 3 months before he could get to a ship. One mark of a good officer, he remembered, was the ability to make quick decisions. If they happened to be right, so much the better. They flew to port over black land. The ring glowed far brighter than moonlight, but moonlight does little to light a landscape from the air. The meteor gully, the rip the lyre had torn across the ring world's surface, was a silver thread behind them. Eventually, it faded into the dark. The sky cycles accelerated steadily and in silence. At a little below the speed of sound, a rushing sound penetrated the sonic fold. It reached a peak at sonic speed, then cut off sharply. The sonic fold found a new shape, and again there was silence. Shortly thereafter, the cycles reached cruising speed. Louis relaxed within the cycle seat. He estimated that he would be spending more than a month in that seat, and he might as well get used to it. Presently, because he was the only one flying and it would not do to fall asleep, he began testing his cycle. The rest facilities were simple, comfortable, and easy to use, but undignified. He tried pushing his hand into the sonic fold. The fold was a force field, a network of force vectors intended to guide air currents around the space occupied by the fly cycle. It was not intended to behave like a glass wall. To Louis's hand, it felt like a hard wind, a wind that pushed straight toward him from every direction. He was in a protected bubble of moving wind. The sonic fold seemed idiot-proof. He tested that by pulling a facial tissue from a slot and dropping it. The tissue fluttered underneath the cycle, and there it rested on the air, vibrating madly. Louis was willing to believe that if he fell out of his seat, which would not be easy, he would be caught by the sonic fold and would be able to climb back up again. It figured, puppeteers. The water tube gave him distilled water. The food slot gave him flat, reddish-brown bricks. 6 times he dialed a brick, took a bite, and dropped the brick into the intake hopper. Each brick tasted different, and they all tasted good. At least he would not get bored with eating. Not soon, anyway. But if they could not find plants and water to shovel into the intake hopper, the food slot would eventually stop delivering bricks. He dialed a 7th brick and ate it. Unnerving to think how far they were from help. Earth was 200 light-years away. The puppeteer fleet, 2 light-years distant, was receding at nearly light-speed. And even the half-vaporized lyre had been invisible from the beginning of the flight. Now the meteoric gouge had faded from sight. How easy would it be to lose the ship entirely? Tanj near impossible, Louis decided. To anti-spinward was the largest mountain men had ever seen. There couldn't be too many such supervolcanoes on the ringworld. To find the lyre, one would aim for the mountain, then troll spinward for a linear gouge several thousand miles long. But the arch of the ringworld blazed overhead, 3 million times the surface area of the Earth. There was room to get quite thoroughly lost on the ringworld. Nessus was beginning to stir. First one head, then the other emerged from beneath the puppeteer's torso. The puppeteer tongued switches, then spoke.
Louis, may we have privacy?
The transparent images of Speaker and Tila appeared to be dozing. Louis switched them out of the intercom circuit. Go ahead.
What has been happening?
Couldn't you hear?
My ears are in my heads. My hearing was blocked.
How are you feeling now?
Perhaps I will return to Catatonia. I feel very lost, Louis.
Me too. Well, we've come 2,200 miles in the last 3 hours. We'd have done better with transfer booths or even stepping discs.
Our engineers were unable to arrange stepping discs.
The puppeteers' heads glanced at each other, eye to eye. A moment only they held the position, but Louis had seen that gesture before. Now, tentatively, he tagged it as puppeteer's laughter. Would a mad puppeteer develop a sense of humor? He continued speaking. We're moving to port. Speaker decided that the port side rim wall was closer. I think we could have flipped a coin for it and got better accuracy, but Speaker's the boss. He took over when you went catatonic.
That is unfortunate. Speaker's fly cycle is beyond range of my TASP. I must...
Hold it a second. Why not leave him in command?
But...
Think about it, Louis urged. You can always veto him with the TASP. If you don't put him in charge, he'll take over anyway every time you relax. We need an undisputed leader.
I suppose it cannot hurt, the puppeteer fluted. My leadership will not materially improve our chances.
That's the spirit. Call Speaker and tell him he's the hindmost. Louis hooked himself into Speaker's intercom to hear the exchange. If he was expecting fireworks, he was disappointed. The Kazin and the puppeteer spoke a few hissing, spitting phrases in the hero's tongue. Then the Kazin cut himself out of the circuit.
I must apologize, said Nessus. My stupidity has brought disaster on us.
Don't worry about it, Louis consoled him. You're just in the depressive leg of your cycle.
I am a sentient being, and I can face facts. I was terribly wrong about Teela Brown.
True enough, but that wasn't your fault.
It was indeed my fault, Louis Wu. I should have realized why I was having trouble finding candidates other than Teela Brown.
Huh?
They were too lucky.
Louis whistled tunelessly through his teeth. The puppeteer had evolved a brand new theory.
Specifically, said Nessus, they were too lucky to become involved in such a dangerous project as ours. The birthright lotteries have indeed produced psychic hereditary luck, yet that luck was not available to me. When I tried to contact the lottery families, I found only Teela Brown.
Listen,
I was unable to contact others because they were too lucky. I was able to contact Teela Brown to involve her in this ill-fated expedition because she did not inherit the gene. Louis, I apologize.
Oh, go to sleep.
I must apologize to Teela, too.
No, that's my fault. I could have stopped her.
Could you?
I don't know. I honestly don't. Go to sleep.
I cannot.
Then you fly. I'll go to sleep. And so it was. But before Louis dropped off, he was surprised to realize how smoothly the fly cycle was riding. The puppeteer was an excellent pilot. Louis woke at first light. He was not used to sleeping under gravity. Never in his life had he spent a night in sitting position. When he yawned and tried to stretch, muscles seemed to crack and crumble under the strain. Groaning, he rubbed sticky eyes and looked about him. The shadows were funny. The light was funny. Louis looked up and found a white sliver of noonday sun. Stupid, he told himself as he waited for the tears to stop. His reflexes were faster than his brain. To his left, all was darkness, deepening with distance. The missing horizon was a blackness born of night and chaos, beneath a navy sky in which outlines of the ringworld arch glowed faintly. To the right, to spinward, was full day. Dawn was different on the ringworld. The desert was coming to an end. Its weaving border, clear and sharp, curved away to right and left. Behind the cycles was desert, yellow-white and bright and barren. The big mountain still blocked an impressive chunk of sky. Ahead, rivers and lakes showed in diminishing perspective, separated by patches of green-brown. The cycles had maintained their positions, widely separated in a diamond pattern. At this distance, they seemed silver bugs, all alike. Louis was in the lead. His memory told him that Speaker had the spinward position, Nessus was to anti-spinward, and Teela brought up the rear. To spinward of the mountain was a hanging thread of dust, like a trail left by a ground-effect jeep crossing a desert, but larger. It had to be larger.
though it was only a threat at this distance.